All at once I see something in your eyes. I don't wanna leave, but I can't stay away. And if you would be mine forevermore,
What's going on, Black Israel, and welcome to another edition of Culture Connection. This is your host, Brother Malcolm, and I am elated. I'm excited. I'm thrilled to be back in the United States of America. Again, we want to thank the Department of Cultural Affairs City in Los Angeles and the British Council USA for the support of Culture Connection UK. And now, back to part two of Omar Lifook, MBE. Just want to let you know before you hear this that just having an opportunity to have this interview with Omar in his studio was extraordinary. I mean, to see where the music that those of us who are fans love and listen to and see where it was created and see the genesis of it. It was a really beautifully sacred place to step foot in, so I was very appreciative. So again, part two of an interview with Omar, Culture Connection UK.
When you're in the studio, when you're writing, when you're listening, when you're composing, when do you feel like a record is complete? When do you feel you've reached that moment, or is it ever?
It's funny, I never feel like it's complete, because I'm always adding stuff, even like, you know, the new album, The Man. I'm still listening to things again. I could have put that there. You know what I mean? And my missus is always going, just leave it now, all right? You've done enough. And you're going to mess it up with putting extra bits on top of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's just how I work. Because, you know, you always, you know, because I produce, I arrange and stuff, you can always hear a little bit. Something can fit in this little corner. Something can fit there, you know. So sometimes it's kind of better to just leave it. So it never really is finished.
Right.
When we did This Is Not a Love Song, I wrote that with David Frank, mm-hmm. out of the system, and that was in his house. And we kind of started with the, you know, and then put the beat on it, and then
the guitar,
yeah, exactly, you know, and then we did the string arrangements and everything, and then we thought, oh, well, you know, we should get a proper drummer on this. So who better than Harvey Mason? So Harvey Mason came down his thing. And then even then, after we finished that bit and we had the string section playing on it, then we we do an introduction, you know what I mean? So it never really is finished, you know what I mean? It's kind of like you have to stop it, or I have to stop myself, because the process is always ongoing. Right. You know, there's always something else you could do to it. But, you know, how long is a piece of string?
that's how long is a piece of string?
Yeah.
That's
profound.
That is very profound. I know you probably wouldn't say this because you're just very humble and generous in my estimation. But some people might refer to you as Britain's premier soul singer musician, and of the last two decades, really. And I'm wondering, you've collaborated with the iconic Stevie Wonder, and as well as the lyrical genius of Common, and the soul royalty, I would say, of Angie Stone, Erykah Badu, Estelle, and of course, Syreeta Wright, to name just a few. These musical pairings seem like pure genius and divine, and I'm curious, why is that?
A lot of it's chance, okay. Circumstance. Working with Erica, contacted me when she came over to England, because I found out that she was listening to my music from when she was a nurse, apparently. So she made the effort to contact me. I was like, I'm blessed, you know, blessed for reaching out. And then when it came to that doing Be Thankful, I was like, who better to ask than Erica? So when Erica came to the studio, we were doing it in New York. Who did she bring to the studio with her? Common. So then Common's like, man, I love this stuff. Okay, let's do some stuff. So then we started working on his album, Electric Circus. And then, you know, I asked him if he could come and work on my thing as well. So, you know, it was kind of like a chance meeting. But, you know, we stayed friends ever since that. Syreeta Wright was, that was another thing, kind of through Stevie. But, you see, I met Stevie with my old manager, Keith Harris, mm-hmm. who's was Stevie's manager in Europe.
Okay.
And that's how I was lucky to get that meeting. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, you know, Sarita for me was my favorite female vocalist of all the time. You know what I mean? You know, when actually I wrote, you know, she's on This and Not a Love Song. But I was trying to get her to sing on everything that I was doing. But when I found out that she was up for working with me, I just sat down and wrote the song Lullaby. And I tell you something, when she first started singing the song, I started bawling like a baby. I was crying, man. Tears running down my face. Because this, you have to understand, this is, you know, it's like getting Stevie in the studio. It's just one of them things, you dream about it from when you're a kid, and then when it actually happens, you know, it's just a fulfilling thing. I've been blessed. Every morning I wake up, I give thanks for my life, you know what I mean? Because I know people is in worse off conditions than myself. And I've been blessed enough to work with all these people, and that they've been willing to work with me as well. Lamont Dozier, Leon Ware, you know, I bumped into Leon when I was doing a tribute to Marvin Gaye in Cannes. And he was the musical director. And funny enough, I didn't know who Leon was, you know what I mean? But we just clicked, right. You know what I mean? It was just, we got on really, you know, and it wasn't for like a year and a bit after that. I still didn't know what he did. He was like, yeah, come to LA, you know, we was hanging out in LA and stuff. And it wasn't until we went to the Roxy. Is that on Sunset? We went to the Roxy. And you know, Goodfellas, when he takes his girl to the dance for the first time, but they go through the kitchen.
And they go through the kitchen, and the table gets set up right in the front, in that shot with one take.
Right, yeah, exactly. Well, it was almost like that with Leon and his wife. But we went into the Roxy, and they showed us right to the front and sat us down. The place was packed, but they gave us a spot just for Leon. I was like, this dude must be heavy, you know, man. And then you know. There's another dude, Jeff Lorber was a guy that I was checking out when I was younger. My cousin put me onto, and you know, with his jazz funk fusion. And David Frank knows him, so he's like, "Yeah, come on." So there's Jeff Lorber jamming on this on one of the tunes. I'm like, "Is this surreal or what?" And then we went round to his house. Who's in his studio playing? Tower of Power. So yeah, you know, and this is like when I'm 25, and you know, my mind's just getting blown left, right, and center. You know what I mean? So it's just like I said, luck, circumstance, and I'm just blessed enough to be in the places to work with these people.
Blessed is absolutely right. I feel like identity politics are very real in American conscious hip-hop and soul music, and I'm curious, what responsibility, if any, do you feel a need to contribute to that conversation? Does it shape your artistry, who you are personally, or
lyrical
musically?
Content?
Yes.
I don't see myself as a lyricist. In fact, I hate writing lyrics, but it's kind of like, you know, part and parcel of writing a song.
Right.
This album, I've actually given out a couple of tracks for people to write the lyrics to what I've done, just to kind of ease up the pressure. And I'm really pleased with the job they did. Vanessa Simon wrote on two tracks. My friend from school, like, we got back from when he was 13. And I was on his album Positive Flow. Mm-hmm. Jesse Wilson contributed to that. But, you know, it's kind of, I don't know. You know, I don't try and set out to make a statement. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't see myself as an eloquent person like that. So when people talk about my lyrics in a deep way and things like that, I'm flattered by it. You know what I mean? But that's, I don't really see myself as that person. You know what I mean? You know, people come to me all the time and they start saying lines or something. I'm like, "What's that?" "Because that's you, man." I'm going, "I can't remember that." You know what I mean? Because I am in the moment. When I'm writing these songs, I'm in the moment, and it's lucky we got something to record it with. Do you know what I mean? Because it captures what I'm doing. Because then I'll move on to the next thing. Because my thing is ever evolving. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if people can take something from my lyrics and use it
right.
to empower themselves, then I'm very, very happy for them to do that.
Well, because it's interesting, because I was listening to Your Mess.
Mm.
And what I love about the music, and that's the reason why I asked that question, because, you know, a lot of times you hear a song and the beat is banging and you're like, and the lyrics are just they have no substance. It's like eating a diet of candy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like with your music, you get all the nutrients. So you get the, you get, you know, I mean, I'm a huge cereal eater, so I'm like, it's like eating, you know, it's like all the flavor of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but like the nutrients of like bran flakes, right? So it's all good in one bowl.
Right.
So, you know, you get like, you're a mess, and it's so funky, and you just want to, and then you start listening to what you're talking about, and you're like,
yeah,
it's beautiful. I mean, it's like you grab us, and it's just this wonderful.
Well, your mess was I start with the chorus, because then it's the chorus which is speaking to me, and it's going to be the title of the rest of the song. And This Is Your Mess was this is your mess, this is your... Yeah, I mean, that's the rhythm of the chorus. So now what the hell am I writing about? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You're going to clean up... clean up what? What's happening with everything? So everything just kind of spread out from that. So I literally let the melody speak to me. You know what I mean? And then
would you say that's for every project, or is that
every single project? That's why I've never sat down and written lyrics first and then added the melody. I'd like to try that at one point, because I've done that with I'm performing a one man play at the moment called Love Song.
Oh.
With a guy called Che Walker's director and the playwright, and he's been developing a couple of other musicals as well, but he's actually asked me to write music to his words. Mm-hmm. That's the very first time that I've ever done it. I was like, it's not too bad. So yeah, you never know. The next project, I might do in that order.
I mean, you know, keeps it interesting, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so I hear and I've read through research that you recently had twins.
Not recently. They're going to be six in October.
They're six.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We're gonna cut that out. So you have twins.
I have twins. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know that you just recently released a single, The Man, which is awesome.
Thank you.
And off your forthcoming album, and I'm curious what your fans should expect from you on this album, particularly now that you're in a period of your life of fatherhood, and I know that life affects artistry.
Sure.
So I'm curious, just
well, it's funny that I called the album The Man, and I strictly picked the title, as I do with all the other albums, from, you know, I'm looking at the rest of the titles and thinking which is the best one for that album, and The Man just you know, rang out, you know, sang out to me to be the one. But it's funny because now I'm putting it all, piecing it all together, and like for instance, when we did the video, when I wrote the song The Man, I kind of started off with a subject. It was going to be called I Found Love, because that's what I'm singing in the chorus. But then The Man, at the end I'm singing Be The Man, so I thought, okay, be the man. But it's a song about evolution, basically, because it's saying about, I used to be this way, but then something made me change. And when the video director was suggesting how to film it, and then he suggested that we filmed it in Brighton, which is where me and my family live, I was like, well, you know what, I could get the girls in on this. Because in the first verse I'm singing about, I used to be this way, but something made me change, which is my girls. And then my second verse I'm singing about my missus, because I'm saying my baby, you know, does this, has this thing she does. So in you know, it looks like a day out at the beach for the family, you know what I mean? But then the whole thing just comes in and makes sense, because I'm trying to be a man, you know, because I've got kids, I've got responsibilities now, I've got family, you know what I mean? They need to be fed, they need to be clothed and educated and all them other things now, and you have to take care of them responsibilities. And, you know, everything, the albums before that, I didn't really have those responsibilities. So now I've evolved into, I should be some kind of man now, whereas before I was, you know, a youth, I suppose. So, yeah. Does that answer your question?
That absolutely answers my question.
Yeah. See, that's my way to go. Because I've always been a bit of a show-off. You know, youth orchestra used to play at the Royal Festival Hall, which is on the South Bank. And, you know, as a percussionist and in an orchestra, you're always at the back. I'm like, you know, one day I'm going to be at the front, man. I'm going to be where that conductor is. I'm going to be singing my stuff. And I've since played there twice as Omar. So, you know, I've realised the dream that I'm supposed to do. But, yeah, so it kind of went from straight country bumpkin into this this show, you know, with the funky dreads, you know. So yeah,
love it. Last but certainly not least on the show, we always do what we call a quick fire. Oh, I'm just gonna ask you some quick questions. Okay. You gotta say the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
Okay.
Are you ready with me?
Oh, go.
Here we go. Favorite movie.
Man, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
A food you cannot live without.
Eggs.
Song that gets you through hard times.
Oh, man. Any jungle tune.
Favorite place to retreat to.
My family home, Hove.
Who or what is the greatest influence in your life?
Stevie Wonder.
What is your favorite word?
As if it's musical. Funky.
What is your proudest moment of your life?
My twins.
Ladies and gentlemen, none other than Omar. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
This has been awesome. I greatly appreciate it.
Cool. No problem.
We hope you enjoyed the interview with Omar. He's phenomenal, right? Wasn't that extraordinary? This man is truly a living genius and a living artistic genius, and so grateful that I had a chance to be in his presence and share time with him. Please support Omar's album that has just dropped, The Man. We want to give a shout out to his management, Lucia. Thank you so much for all that you did to make this happen. Omar, we wish you all the success in the world, and we're really looking forward to having you out here in Los Angeles very soon. And as we end every Culture Connection, remember to make a career out of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. And until next time, thank you for supporting Culture Connection. This is Brother Malcolm. Peace.